Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn. And touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
It's the end of the year, kids. This is it for Drinking Bros podcast for 2019. What we like to do is go through all of our folders on Dropbox to make sure we didn't miss anything, have an extra episode out there that has never aired, and usually we do. I'd like to send an apology to comedian Eddie Ift, who was kind enough to stop into the studio while he was on tour in Wilmington, North Carolina, and the episode got buried in a folder because we were going on the Drinking Bros cruise. Now, for those of you who were on the Drinking Bros cruise, we got blackout drunk. I don't remember what happened the week before, during the cruise, or the week after. However, I do know now that we skipped an episode. So we're going to air this episode we shot, I guess, a couple weeks or a week before we went on the cruise. So to Mr. Eddie Ift, I apologize. We're going to air this episode now. Please know that we will be back January 6th with all new shows. However, since the holidays fell in the middle of the week this year, everybody is obviously gone and out of town with their loved ones. Stay safe and do not drink responsibly. But first, we got some sponsors. Put this whole shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. Come on, kids. Best deal of the year. This is it. 25% off everything in the entire store at GhostBed.com/Drinking Bros. I'm talking about pillows, mattresses, sheets, adjustable bases, covers. You name it, they got it. Doesn't matter if you're military or a first responder or just a regular human like myself, they're giving you 25% off of everything in the entire store. You cannot beat that. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. So if you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas, now's your chance to stock up on the greatest mattress ever created. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. And as always, their 36-month pay-as-you-go program is no interest, and it applies to this discount. I know what you're thinking. There's no way you're getting the discount and the pay-as-you-go program. No, you are. You get 25% off, and you can pay-as-you-go. Shit's like $28 a month, dude. You cannot beat that at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we got ledbyiron.com. LedByIron. Come on, Ross. Man, I've been drinking. I've been hitting the sauce. Ledbyiron.com, LedByIron.com. They are the ones doing the Patterson Holloway 2020 shirts. Get them. All proceeds go to our campaign. We are running for school board of New Hanover County this year. Led by Iron was kind enough to do the t-shirts for us. They're tri-blend, butter soft. Get them now. They're only $19.99. Again, all of it goes to our campaign for signs and commercials and everything else. Go to ledbyiron.com and get your Holloway Patterson 2020 shirts. It'll really help out the campaign. That's ledbyiron.com. Get them. Get the Patterson Holloway shirts 2020. We need your help. Now, let's get some Mr. Eddie Ift, shall we? Welcome to Drinking Bros. Fuck you, Dan.
I know I couldn't count to three properly.
Fuck you, dude.
It's ridiculous.
You piece of shit. I'm gonna start off with two things. First of all, we have a special guest who's not going to be that special because he's not drinking.
I'm a little special. You could call me special the way my asshole has been acting.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
That's good news.
Yeah, and I want to go deep inside that asshole. But
you mean metaphorically or
we'll see. Both.
We'll see what happens.
Both. I get rubber gloves in the back. I'm fine. I'll go glove, no glove. I don't give a shit. I'll go full hand up that ass.
Are you worried about the Ebola thing still?
Worried about the Ebola thing. I'm worried about my hair getting Ebola.
Oh, yeah.
Summer Swayze. So, Steve, not Steve, Eddie. We had your buddy on last week, Steve Byrne, who said you were a homosexual man, and that's fine.
Coming from a homosexual.
So. Yeah, oh, correct. Shit. We've got Eddie Ift on the show. Funny dude. Look, everybody says you're the most underrated comedian on the planet.
The Onion said that, and that's satirical, so I think that means I'm overrated.
So you're new to the show. We have this thing called the Summer of Swayze. So grew up, the hair, dyed it, permed it. It's all leading up. Swayze's got a documentary.
Permed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got a body wave.
Got a body wave.
Okay.
Like a single perm.
It wasn't a full perm. It was a body wave, which is nice. Now I'm starting to look like I'm fucking transitioning, I feel.
Yeah, you look like Caitlyn right now.
I'm feeling very Caitlyn.
Yeah. And we're going to go back to Bruce pretty soon. So we're doing the cruise. Comes up in about a month.
Correct.
I love that they're going to let you do this on a cruise. You know, comedians, like when they book us on cruises, it's all about like being the cleanest.
Yeah, fuck that.
Like there's clean and then there's cruise ship clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is whatever the opposite of that is.
Yeah. This is
because here's my prediction. This is God's honest truth. I bet you one person jumps off and they don't come back. I bet you when we dock in Mexico, my over under is five that
for
don't
people
make
that are
that
getting
fucking
left,
boat
yeah.
back. 100%.
Like you guys. So your fans coming with you?
Yeah, it's all the listeners. So it's like 400 listeners, and it's solely our cruise.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're not sharing it with anybody.
Oh.
Nothing. Yeah, Carnival booked us out.
This sounds like a horrible idea.
Oh.
So we're performing two weddings.
Three.
Three,
a third couple just got added, and their fucking parents are coming.
Oh, my God.
Which is awesome. I'm amped to do it. I just got ordained. I just got Anthony ordained on here. And I feel pretty positive about my skills.
Have you guys bought insurance?
No, we have a release of liability. Like personal insurance
correct.
We have.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But we have it through the cruise ship. And we just said, hey, man,
Like this sounds like the worst idea ever.
Of all time.
So your fans are all alcoholics.
Yes.
Oh, to the nth degree, they're also,
this is the worst idea I've ever heard.
They're not litigious either, which is good for
us. This is like adult spring break.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 100% what it is.
Yeah, someone's going to die.
And that's the thing. So someone's going to die. I think one person will get AIDS. But we're not going to find out about that till 3 years, right?
It'll be a while, yeah.
It'll be 3 years.
We may never find out.
Probably a lot of them have AIDS.
Only poor people die of AIDS now.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
It's fine.
It's not a big deal.
And if you're, let's face it, if they're able to come on the cruise, they're not poor.
Yeah. So because it was a nice chunk.
They're not going to, they'll contract it. They'll probably go HIV, but they won't go full-blown AIDS.
Here's what to look for. Because you
half-blown.
Yeah, half-blown AIDS. You get HGH. Human growth hormone is part of your AIDS cocktail now.
Yes.
So, oh, do they?
Yeah.
See, Dr. West.
Yeah.
So Sheen is ripped.
So in like 2 years, you notice some of our fans are all jacked up. Those are the people that got AIDS on the cruise for sure. That's how we'll know.
You know what you need to do for me? Can you get somebody to butt chug a beer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that happened at the last event.
Yeah, we went to the Army-Navy football game in Philly last year, and a guy stuffed a Jell-O shot up his ass.
Two Jell-O shots up his ass. Yeah. Wow. And there was but his buddy brought a purple rubber glove.
Yeah. Yeah, one guy was like, stuff with Jell-O shot up your ass, and some guy immediately whipped out a fucking glove. And I'm like, why do you have that on you?
Somebody did it one night live on my stage at my show, and because I had made a joke for like a month about how I was in Australia, and I was like, nobody, you guys don't know what butt chugging is. It's an American thing. And then some guy goes, I'll do it. And they didn't have a funnel and a tube, so they cut a bottle and just shoved the bottle in his ass and then poured the beer in and it went in his ass and everybody cheered.
Yeah. Well, that's Australia for you.
Let me ask you this. When you poured it in, did it go the other way around?
Like counterclockwise?
Yeah.
No.
That's sad. Because that's how I expect it should happen.
I think it shot in and then he stood up and it kind of shot back out like an
enema.
Yeah, enema.
Like you can't.
That's natural.
Have you ever butt chugged anything?
I've never butt chugged anything, but I've had an enema.
You want to talk about that?
I've never had an enema.
Really?
Well, you probably need one. You're dying right now.
I am dying. No, I don't think there's anything in me that needs to be washed out.
Well,
that's the cleanse. That's right
your
there.
Soul.
I will
you can,
tell you that
you can clean that
this
out.
This is really gross. And
feel free to get graphic.
Since we're all guys and a girl that sits around guys all the time.
Yeah.
So I had the food poisoning and I was pissing out my ass, like literally pissing. Like I would sit down and water would just shoot out of my ass for 3 days. And I didn't eat any food. I was just drinking Pedialyte. And then last night a shit came out of me and I'm like, where were you hiding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where were you in
Anne
my
Frank.
Body?
That was the Anne Frank turd. She was hiding in
the Anne Frank turd came out
was
of
it
me.
A soft serve or was it hard?
It was pretty hard. And I'm like, dude, that shit, like, is that my lungs or something? Was
that's
it off
the sign that you're over it, at least.
Yeah. Exactly. But I was like,
Can we name this episode the Anne Frank turd?
Why not? We can do whatever we want. Yeah, we're living by our own rules. It's the Goonies. I'm not fucking going up Troy's bucket. That's when it's all over. You're in Wilmington, North Carolina. You're doing a show. Are you doing two nights here at Dead Crow
Friday? Two shows last night, two shows tonight.
Nice. Damn, dude. Yeah, this gonna... sick?
Yeah.
How long's your set?
I did shows every night in New York while I had it. It was awful. I would just go out. I would do the show and come straight home. I had to do a TV show. I did that Comedy Central show, Comedy Cellar Tonight, and I was just fully fucking diarrhea'd on stage.
Oh, God. Is you dipe up? You wearing a diaper?
I asked my nephew. He said, is there anything I can get you? Because I was staying at my sister's, and I go, can you get me a diaper? And he's 10. And I hear him go in there and he goes, Mom, do we have a diaper? And she goes, for what? And he's like, Uncle Eddie needs a diaper. He totally thought I was going to put a diaper on and go do a show.
I'm going to be honest. We've had some listeners that, because we've gone hard at live shows, they've diaped up before.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen them change their diapers full of piss.
How have I not heard about you guys?
I don't know. Or, Eddie.
This is...
It's shocking that you haven't.
It is. But you know what? Like, college roommate. Because
your show is crazy, too.
Yeah,
you had somebody squirt on camera.
I'm glad that I met you now. Because if I met you then, this would get ugly. Now, I've evolved into a father.
Man.
Yeah, and I've... I've graduated. Otherwise, we'd be dead in another 20 minutes.
That's fine.
Probably.
No, we've all had a good run. It's fine.
Yeah.
How hard were you going back in the day? You said right before we came on, you had somebody squirt on your show on camera.
On a Bible.
On a Bible.
Yeah. That's a new wrinkle. No. Bonnie Rotten wanted to squirt on a Bible. Bonnie Rotten, the porn star. I said, what's the worst thing you've done? And she said, I squirted on a Bible. And I was like, yeah, that's I might put
like
that
on
up
purpose.
There. I don't know.
And
she's,
what would drive you to do something? Like, I don't care about religion or anything, but that seems a little
she's
gratuitous,
pretty,
doesn't
she's
it?
She's pretty out there.
Yeah.
Bonnie's the craziest person I've ever met. But the craziest thing probably on our show, we always had the cops there. The cops would show up because we did it in my house. Imagine if you did this in your house.
Yeah.
The neighbors would call the police on us all the time.
Well, this is where this one started.
Yeah.
And luckily,
the cops show up a few times.
The cops
times,
knew us, though, so it's fine.
Yeah.
We had, I had a hot dog eating contest where these, the interns would have to eat hot dogs watching gay porn.
That's a good idea.
That's a
actually.
Great one. Yeah.
We might do that.
Trying to think of some of the others. We did a whole bunch. My sidekick, I sent him on a date with a hooker. He thought I got him a date off match.com. And it was a prostitute, and she charged him at the end of the night.
Did they end up boning?
One night, everybody was doing cocaine, and one guy, Jim Jeffries, and this rapper named Example, both punched Jason in the face at the same time. I mean, like, he was like, I can't feel anything. It's amazing. Go ahead, fucking punch me. He's like, punch me. Oh, it's all, if you Google it, you can watch it on YouTube. One of them punches the face, one of them in the stomach. They beerboarded me, Kenny Hotz from Kenny versus Spenny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He beerboarded me one night, and they like I almost died. Like, they go, your safe word is more. And
no, you're supposed to put like stuff in your hand so you can drop it when you can't take it anymore, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the rules.
Oh, well, this was
when you're getting waterboarded or beerboarded or whatever boarded.
We did this way back when the CIA got caught doing it, so we were like, let's do it with beer. You know, like they're Islamic.
Yeah,
add insult to injury.
Yeah, Dan was military, yeah. So
it's not fun.
So
being
but,
waterboarded.
But when you do it to people,
it's awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
Really great.
I had it done.
Yeah,
to and yourself.
It sucks.
How did you? Okay. What was your experience with it?
I didn't care. I surf a lot, so it's like getting like held down under a wave. Yeah, like when you get held down for a long time.
Don't panic is the only thing.
Yeah, I panicked though a little bit because they were Jason, my sidekick, hated me because I abused him so much. So he just like kept pouring more and more beer down my nose, and it's because it goes up your nose. That's what messes you up.
Yeah.
And
what happened with that show, by the way? Because it was rad. It was called Talking Shit.
Yeah, we did 499 episodes, and I was just like, anyone can do 500. So I got a.
Well, you named one 498.1.
Yeah.
And then 499. And then I was like, all right, cool. Maybe he's just going to set fire to the fucking rain. But you gave like a serious speech on 499 that just said, hey, man.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I got that school bus. I bought a broken down school bus for $10,000, and I put $80,000 into it, and had this incredible studio, and now the bus is worth about $50. If anyone wants to buy it, I'll be selling it on eBay soon.
Really? What happened?
I just got tired. It was too much overhead, too much work.
Yeah.
And I couldn't handle it myself.
And yeah. So you have a new show. It's Bingle.
No, Bingle was the new show in the bus. That was the Bingle
and
bus.
That's done now.
That's done.
What are you doing now? Because you were recording earlier.
I do
day,
a
right?
show called the Wadcast Podcast. That's okay. Dr. Wes over there was on.
Wadcast, like workout of the day?
Yeah, workout of the day. So it's all about like
CrossFit?
CrossFit, health, fitness, nutrition, you know, anything that can help your life kind of shit. So for like 8 years, I ruined your life. And now I'm trying to make it better.
Yeah, you know, the weird part about it is like, dude, I only still know you about ruining people's lives.
Yeah.
And like seeing you here.
Yeah, I'm all grown
it's
up.
It's like fucking Marsha Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wild.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the turning point?
I had a kid.
Oh, gotcha.
I had a kid. It ruined everything. I just couldn't anymore. Like I used to go to strip clubs and love strip clubs and try to have sex with the girls. I couldn't go to a strip club now. I'd be like, hey, you get down from there. You have a father somewhere. This is like, hey.
I'm just going to adopt a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Eastern European woman, and then move on from there and see how that goes. That's going to be my parentage.
I'd like a 27-year-old.
27 too old.
Boy. Ooh. I want a Thai boy. So he looks younger, but he's 27. Back, yeah. Can't really talk back to me and that type of shit.
Well, he doesn't. And if he does, English. You just put him in a cave.
Exactly.
In a cave or a cage. I mean, either way,
cave,
I guess.
Cave. Why? Yeah. Well, the tide's coming up.
So how,
it's
how,
called
how,
discipline, how, Ross. All right?
Exactly. God, I'll work on it. Whatever. How old are you right now?
In my 40s. And okay. I got a baby this month.
Oh,
my
shit.
Wife had a second baby.
Wow.
Have you met the baby yet?
No, I sort of. Like, I was there when he was born, and the doctor tried to give him to me, and I was like, stranger.
You guys,
danger.
Like, exchanged Instagrams, and you rolled the fuck out, right?
Look, I don't know him yet. I will know him eventually.
Yeah.
But right now, he's got to – he can't just – he's got to earn my love.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
– if I ever had a kid, I would pay, like, a hobo to wear a Dan mask.
Yeah,
for like the first 2 years of that kid's life.
I love I love my daughter.
Yeah, so can you put this on the new one?
No, that's
just put this. Just pop this up on the new one, and then take a picture and send that back. Dan likes to see other versions of himself out in the world. So
that's all I see.
We had those for Jason, but we had them even bigger. We had giant ones of Jason. And Jason was my sidekick. He was homeless. I found him on the street, and I was like, you know what, you'd be good at podcasting. And he ended up becoming my sidekick for like 8 years.
What's he up to now?
I think he's homeless again.
Nice. Good for him.
Yeah. Is he in LA?
No, he's doing well. He had two kids.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, everybody grew up. Jim Jeffries even had a kid.
I know.
Yeah, we didn't think that could happen.
I know. Who was your crew all the way around?
It was...
because everybody in comedy's kind of got their crew.
Yeah, it was like... the one now, it's like Lachlan Patterson, Joe Prano. My openers all just got Montreal Comedy Festival this year, so I maybe have a good eye for talent. Joe Prano, Craig Philip Conant, they both got Montreal this year. But the guys who were always there were like Yoshi Obayashi. Do you know Yoshi?
No, I don't.
Oh, you need to know Yoshi.
Yo, does he have a podcast?
He's on everyone else's podcast.
He's
the one that tried to murder his mother.
Oh, fuck, yes.
Yeah, Yoshi. Miss Pat was on my show all the time.
Yeah.
Tiffany Haddish was on all the time.
Yeah. I have the same agent as her. She is fucking just annihilating it.
Yeah.
Annihilating it.
Nobody's doing it like her.
The money she's bringing in is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, she's doing pretty well.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
How's she in real life?
She's great. Tiffany was great. I always loved her, and that's why I was like, hey, you should come on my podcast. I brought her on one time to do, I had all the interns do an open mic, and the judges were all like Def Jam, black comics. And they were just yelling at them. They're like, you white motherfucker, you fucking, I'm gonna fuck your face. And it was brutal. So Tiffany was just really funny with them. But I'm trying to think of some of the other.
A lot of people tie you to Rogan.
Yeah.
You did that thing with Rogan too.
I've been on Rogan's show a bunch of times. Yeah. Chris Wilde was on my show a lot. I love Rogan. Rogan's the king of podcasting, and I can't say enough about him. He's done more for comics than anyone. Yeah. So.
Isn't it crazy, man? Did you ever see that coming from back in the day?
Sort of. I knew, like, I started listening to his podcast when everybody was listening to Marc Maron. Mm-hmm, I would listen to Marc, and I was like, oh, it's fun to listen to his interviews. Mm-hmm. Like, but I don't want to hear Marc. Like, I want to hear his guest.
The guest, yeah.
And then when I started listening to Rogan, I was like, I could listen to Rogan for 12 hours because he likes all the same shit I like.
Yeah.
And then Rogan and I just, I forget how we became friends, but we like a lot of the same shit. And so we would just like compare notes and talk about the same people. And then I worked with him a few times and he'd have me open for him and it was just, he was great. So.
Yeah, I watched him the other day. A friend of the show was on. Brendan Shaw was on a show.
Yeah.
So we were watching that. He was talking about going on the road with
Chappelle. Brendan was in Wilmington?
No, not in Wilmington.
No, he was on the show in San Antonio.
Okay. We have another studio in San Antonio. We have another host in San Antonio.
Okay.
And I think we might be the only podcast that's got two studios in two different
states. So you guys
fly
back and forth?
No, we do remote stuff.
Oh, yeah, and we do a lot of live shows.
Yeah, okay. We do live shows.
A lot of live shows, like every 2 weeks. But Brendan was talking about, he was asking Rogan about what it's like to go on the road with Chappelle. Because the two of those guys are doing like stadium tours right now.
Yeah.
25,000 people. And it's just like fucking crazy. And he's like, man, it's a 5 hour show.
That's crazy.
5 hours combined. And like, then they do a Q and A at the end with Donnell Rawlings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Donnell's a good buddy of mine.
That dude.
And it's like, man,
the only sad part about it is that Charlie Murphy's not still around to be a part of that whole thing. Just because he was on that Chappelle crew for so long. That guy was so goddamn
But it
funny.
Was funny, yeah. Like the merger of Chappelle and Rogan. Like yeah. they I think they draw kind of a different audience.
They do, and so here was the weird thing was what he this is what he was saying was that the agents called each other. They were friends in real life, kind of.
Yeah. We're all friends. Yeah.
But then they you know, he's like, when did you see him? He's like, I didn't see him until the gig. So we showed up at the fucking gig and I was like, man, a show that big with two titans, you know, like right now,
yeah,
in particular. And then you guys just meet at the fucking gig and then that's it.
A buddy of mine's in a famous band and I brought him to the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa once and he came backstage and we're all hanging out and talking and he was like, this is unbelievable. And I'm like, what? And I'm thinking, you're in this famous band that's toured in every festival. You've done everything. And he's like, this is amazing. You guys all hang out together and you all talk. And I'm like, yeah, you guys don't. He's like, not at all. he's like, and I, it was weird. I went to see his band one night and there were a couple bands opening for him and big bands. And they all had their own separate yeah. areas where they were nowhere near each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is weird.
Yeah. When they come on stage, play together.
Yeah.
And like they're old bros. And then as soon as it's over, they just fucking bounce.
Yeah, but they didn't even play together. Like one band would play, then they'd go back to their VIP area. And then this band goes on and then they go to their own VIP area. And they might not even see each other.
Yeah.
At the show.
Hmm. That's weird. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's no fun. I like the community. I like seeing comics and talking to them every night and meeting the new ones. And
yeah,
it's too much fun.
The musicians though are different.
Yeah. They're weirdos.
And there's a lot of ego involved. So we did one for
comics
the show.
Don't have egos.
Well,
it's different though.
Not to this extent.
I feel like comedians like to get together and bounce shit off of each other. And musicians just aren't like that anymore.
Yeah.
Like all those shows, like Spade's new show and like Colin Quinn's show back in the day where comedians get together and just talk about topical shit. That's some of the best content that can be created because it's some of the quicker and smarter and funnier people just talking about whatever the fuck's going on. I don't know why there's not more of that.
The best was The Green Room with Paul Provenza.
Yeah.
I love that show. I did that with Rogan actually and Tommy Chong. That's where I met Tommy Chong.
You did something with Tommy, right? Back
yeah,
in the
I did
day?
The 420 show with him.
Yeah.
That's when I quit smoking weed. And I had to what, go on
he
the get, 420.
Did he fuck you up too much or what happened?
No, Tommy's never fucked me up, but Tommy's great though. Like I've been to his house and the first time I was at his house, he's like, hey man, how's your weed? And I was like, it's okay. And he's like, yeah. That's when I had quit. And he's like, why'd you quit, man? And I go, oh, I was having panic attacks. And he's like, oh, that's not the weed. That's you, man. He's like, you got the demons. And he took me down to his basement. He had like piles and piles. He's like, here, man, take this. He's put it in my pockets. He's like, take it home with you, man. And I was like, Tommy, I don't want to get pulled over with all this weed on me. He's California, man. They'll smoke it with you.
I don't know if that's accurate or not, but...
That's a great Tommy Chong, though.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time with him. He's a great guy, and his son is a really good friend of mine, Paris Chong.
Yeah, is he the one that runs the bong shop, the head shop?
He did, the one that got him in trouble when he got arrested.
But he got arrested for selling online, right?
Yeah, but it was Chong Bongs, and Paris, his son, was the one that was like in charge of that. And Tommy kind of took the fall for Paris. I mean, I might be speaking out of place, but Tommy said this. But Paris is a surfer. Really good surfer, and so I met him through that. And I didn't even know he was Tommy Chong's son. And I had worked with, I don't know if I'd worked with Tommy yet or what, but I was talking about comedy, and my buddy's like, would you just shut the fuck up? And I'm like, what? He's like, stop like bragging about comedy. And I'm like, what? He's like, Paris's dad is Tommy Chong. And you're talking like, let me tell you about comedy.
Yeah. Let me sit you down on my knee and tell you about comedy.
And Paris just kept his mouth shut. It like we're at lunch and I'm like, and then we go on the road.
Yeah.
And when we're on the road and Paris is like, is that true? Is that so? That's so interesting.
Imagine those guys back in the day.
Oh,
early 80s on the road. Right after those movies came out, Up in Smoke. Holy shit, dude. I bet it was massive for
this. But the THC was not the levels that it is now.
No, but if you don't know any better, think about it. They probably just got equally as fucked up.
The acid was better back then.
Yeah.
But THC, I've got a weed pen in my car right now that's 97% THC.
They were nowhere near that.
It's so lethal. Like, do not smoke Dan's weed pen anywhere. This is for anybody out in the 5.4
if you see
out there
me,
at home.
Out in the
do not
wild,
smoke
yeah.
with Dan's weed pen. It's everybody too that comes up to Dan and is like, oh man, I'll take a hit of that. I'm fine. I'm on your level. Right. I mean, dicks into the ground.
People, Irish exit. You know, you're from
Irish goodbye. I do it all the time.
I do it all the time too.
Yeah. I'm out.
It's the best way to leave. Yes. I don't know why everyone doesn't do it. No one remembers when you left a party. No one remembers that if you said goodbye to them or not, because they're usually fucked up. So
yeah.
If you say I'm leaving and then you go, I'm going to say goodbye to everyone, you're there for another 2 hours.
Yeah, fuck
that. Well, and the other thing about it is if you leave and tell everybody, then it makes other people leave where they're like, oh, shit. Because maybe somebody else is looking for an early out and then you're going to ruin somebody's party because like eight other people are going to leave.
I've been doing a new thing called the Mexican goodbye. Do you know what that is?
Does it include your dysentery?
Yes. You just take a shit on the floor and then you just leave.
I skate out on the shit.
And it's got to be diarrhea. It's got to be.
Of course it does.
Montezuma's Revenge.
It's always got you got a rhea to get out of there. Yeah.
That is the best way to leave. Yoshi did that once to someone. He was staying at someone's house. But a fraternity brother of mine in college did that. He asked if he could use their bathroom, didn't come out of their bathroom for like 2 hours. Everybody's like, where the fuck is Dave doing? Where is he? And then finally they're like knocking on the door. He's not answering. They're like, holy shit, is he dead? So they broke the door down and the window's open and he's gone. And they're like, what the fuck? And they look and there's the carpet, the little carpet in the rug in the bathroom. And there's like a lump in it. They lift it up. He took a shit, put the rug over it, and jumped out the window.
That's a bold move. Why not just upper deck the toilet or something?
Who does this?
I don't know. That's really bizarre.
Well, because if you're going to do it, just go on top of the carpet. Why pull up the carpet?
So somebody will step on it when they walk in.
My theory is he didn't make it to the toilet.
Oh, got it.
But he covered the... No, he had to lift the rug up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a
lot of effort.
I think he's just...
He had to lift the rug up.
I just think he's a serial killer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's serial killer shit.
It is, yeah.
He's got a bag of toenails somewhere.
Yeah.
He's got a bag of little shoes somewhere.
That's extensive.
We just played a game at a comedy club the other night. Who, if you had to pick a comedian that would secretly be a serial killer, who would it be?
Whitney Cummings.
Who?
Whitney Cummings.
Maybe. Serial killer.
But here's the thing about that. 99.9% of the time, it's a man. So,
oh yeah, it's always
so.
A man.
Girl's gonna be a bad bet,
and it's a white.
Women
man.
Just
let me,
kill
let me
you.
Double check. Our murder expert, James. What's the? Is that true? Yes or no?
Yeah, I would say
women
Jim
kill
Norton.
You emotionally. They just That's kill true. You emotionally.
Yeah. I would
your
say
whole
Jim,
life.
Jim Norton's a pretty good selection.
See, Norton, I think the obvious.
Although he's a very nice guy in real life, though, so probably not him.
The obvious ones aren't the ones. No. It's always the guy that's real quiet. And
Carrot Top. Sea Top.
Carrot Top could be it.
Are you a big Sea Top fan?
Do you watch his Instagrams?
No. Are they funny?
You need to.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wait, because there was a huge eye roll there.
It's just something you need to watch.
Why, though?
It's just a little interesting.
Are you a fan of Carrot Top? Are you a Sea Top fan?
In a way, yes. I think Carrot Top, I think he gets a lot of shit. And I was the first guy that, like, comics used to, like, go down this road of calling Carrot Top and Gallagher hacks. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We all stand up there with a microphone doing the same thing over and over and over. These guys are the ones that, like, went out there and tried some wacky fucking shit that, yes, it became unoriginal over time. But the first night they did it, if you were in the comedy club and Gallagher brought a watermelon out, he had never done it before. He smashed a watermelon in front of you. You walked out of that club going, that was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Every comedian would have walked out going, that guy's Andy Kaufman. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah. That's the best thing I've ever seen.
Nick Thune. That's who could be a serial killer.
Yeah. No. No,
why not?
No.
I
know him too well.
You have to be a white man.
I'm pretty good friends.
Serial killer, you got to typically be a white man. You have
couldn't
to
be Nick.
Above average
be
intelligence.
Nick's too sweet. We played a prank. Nice. I played a prank on Nick in Australia. That was the best fucking prank ever. And he was so like hurt by it that I felt like.
But wasn't Dahmer like a super sweet guy to all
no.
the people around
no.
him?
No.
Like his his girlfriend, or who am I thinking of? The guy from Seattle, right?
Oh, no. You're thinking of who's the serial killer, Jabes? Launch it.
The one that that Zac Efron just played.
Oh, Bundy. Yeah, Bundy, talking about Ted Bundy. Bundy. Yeah.
Yeah, Bundy was charming.
Yeah, he was charming,
but he was like behind closed doors. He wasn't nice, but you guys wouldn't be victims. Nick Thune is a serial killer, and he's victimizing women all over the country.
No.
You heard it here first,
too
folks.
Nice. Too nice. And he's religious.
It's
he's
violence.
Religious.
Oh, really? It's violence. Like, they're usually violent towards women. Like, Bundy was raised thinking that his mom was his sister.
Yeah. That was fucked.
That's what fucked his head up. Yeah. And so he hated women.
So who do you think it is? Who's the secret serial killer?
I think it's the guy who's all smiley.
Oh, you thinking about Sebastian Maniscalco? No. Am I saying that right?
There's never been an Italian serial killer. Yeah.
No.
My wife's sauce is so fucking thick.
Yeah, yeah. Can't do that.
No.
Yoshi's a good one.
Well, if he took a shit already on somebody's floor. And
Yoshi tried to kill his mom.
Yeah.
But Yoshi's, no, he's too obvious. It's, you know how Cosby, you would never expected Cosby to be a rapist.
100%.
It's the guy it's like, it'd be like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So you're saying that Jerry Seinfeld is a serial killer?
Yeah, you can quote me on that.
Yeah, we'll go. Put that on there.
Yeah, thanks.
That'll be the title of the episode.
Jerry Seinfeld's a serial killer.
Yeah, I would like that.
Semicolon and Frank Turd.
Yeah.
So we got the name of the episode down now.
The old Anne Frank Turd. Yeah, with fucking Cosby, you're right. I didn't see that coming at all.
No, not at all. I kind of did because I heard some stories about it. You know DC Benny?
No, I don't know DC Benny, but...
DC Benny was on an episode of The Cosby Show, and he told me how, like, Cosby did this, like, really dickish thing to him. And I was like, wow, that's fucking evil, what he did.
Yeah.
And he just called him out and made a fool out of him in front of everyone. And I was like, wow, why does he have to do that?
He's done that to a lot of people, though.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of guests on our show told a story about that.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to work, and that and working clean, you got to work clean. You can't
swear. He told everybody to work clean.
You can't do all that shit. And it was Hannibal Buress.
Yeah.
That
well, Hannibal's
his whole.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why he's in jail. And that's a wild thing to think about.
It was Hannibal Buress and 30 Rock. Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock, that episode where he was mad. I think it was season 3 when he made the porn video game. And then he made all that money and he realized he didn't have to work anymore. So Alec Baldwin's character is trying to talk him into working. And he gets a guy to impersonate Bill Cosby. And Tracy Morgan's response to that is, like, you have the nerve to call me after what you did to my aunt or whatever the fuck? And everybody's like, holy shit.
Well, I think it's snowballed.
Because it was right after
Burris
snowballed
after
said
the Hannibal
Buress was a writer on
30. Yeah, because there were always, like, rumors, like, you know, it's weird because people always say, like, why didn't you do something? And it's like, well, you hear rumors. You can't go to the police and be like, hey, I heard this guy fucks boys, little boys. Like, go arrest him. You can't do that shit. You have to have proof and evidence. And so whenever they're like, it was your duty to come out against him, it's like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't unless you're involved and you see it. These past couple years have been a little crazy.
Yeah, a little really crazy. I like how you just said duty, though. That was funny.
Yeah, exactly. So. What about Louis C.K.?
Yeah, like there's a prime example. Like everybody had heard the story about what happened at Aspen, and everybody had heard it, but like I wasn't there.
It's like a game of telephone sometimes,
right?
Yeah,
it's totally.
Maybe.
People tell me stories about stuff we did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not what happened. And they're like, I was there. I'm like, I was there too. And you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like a buddy. Remember that time we went and we picked up that girl? And I'm like, no, that was my cousin. And she didn't have red hair. She had
eyewitness testimony is about 30% accurate typically.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised with how crazy your show was. Like nothing fucked up happened to you.
No, people that are crazy out in the open like that don't do crazy shit behind closed doors.
They do
all their crazy shit on the fucking show.
Well, like that's what, with me, I tried when the Me Too movement came around, I'm like, hey, I've been completely transparent. Yep.
I've been a piece of shit for years.
I said right away, I think on the first podcast I was on, I was like, yes, I did hire a bunch of prostitutes in Dubai to do a Congo line around a room whistling the bridge over the River Kwai. I was there.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. And, It was a fucking great conga line.
Was it real? Probably one of your best, right? In Omly.
Oh, it was amazing. We found out prostitutes cost $50 in Dubai.
Really?
And we were like,
how much is a plane ticket to
Dubai? We were like, oh my God.
That's what Dan's looking for right
now. We were
about
like, how many can we get? And we're like, well, how many taxis can we get to follow us? And we just took them to this party. And the prostitutes couldn't understand that we didn't want to have sex with them. We just wanted them to party with us.
Ah.
And they were like, but let's have sex now. And we were like, you're off duty. We're paying you to party. And they were like, but let's fuck. And we're like, how many times do I have to tell you? I don't want to fuck you.
At some point you get exasperated. Like, fine, you fucking bitch. I'll fuck you already. Jesus Christ.
Well, I think that's some guys did, but I didn't.
Don't lie to me.
No, I didn't.
This is a dumb question, but they're all like Arabian, right?
No, not at all.
No, they're from all over.
They're from really? Russia, Brazil, and China mostly. Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
And it's just a big prostitution?
Tons of them because of all the bankers.
There's a lot of steakhouses and prostitution. Yeah. Prostitutes in fucking Dubai.
Dan, I'm going to be honest.
Sounds great, right?
For you?
Yeah.
This is probably your dream place to live.
I don't think you guys should do this show there.
Why? What would happen?
No, we would You'd end executed. Up in prison. Yeah.
We would get executed.
Yeah,
you would get.
Yeah, definitely.
What's the rules and all that fucking shit?
The rules are if you're white, non-Muslim, you can drink. There's places to drink around there.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of steakhouses. They don't like gays that much. Obviously,
they'd hate you.
Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
They don't like too much shenanigans. They don't like blasphemy either.
No,
so you can do whatever you want.
Blasphemy towards religion?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. Okay.
Like the shit that we say about like
Muslims?
About anybody. Even blasphemy towards other religions, they get butthurt about.
That's the one thing they told us performing there. They go, hey, you can do jokes about terrorism, anything you want, just don't talk about Islam at all. And we were like, you got it. And don't make fun of the crown prince. The royal family is off limits.
Well, Khashoggi found that out.
Yeah.
fuck me, man.
Saudi Arabia is turning into the UAE now. They are trying to westernize at such a rapid rate. It's crazy.
There'll
it's
be a backlash at some point.
Not really, because the people have wanted it forever.
Oh, the people do, yeah. But so the same thing happened in Iran. Iran was super forward and westernized. And then all of a sudden, the U.S. government decided to help them overthrow the fucking elected president and install the Ayatollah Khomeini, right? And
yeah.
And they just went completely backwards.
Yeah.
If the people in fucking... So Saudi Arabia just started allowing women to drive cars in September of this past year. And it's because of Uber. Because they own... Like, the Saudi Arabian government owns a big chunk of Uber now.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know
and that. Uber was like, hey, we're going to fucking divest your fucking equity unless you blah, blah, blah. So they're being forced into doing shit. And I guarantee you, anytime you try to move too rapidly like that, there's always some kind
of fucking
backlash.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah, because they're bringing over comedians now. Lots and lots of comedians to Saudi Arabia to perform. And
they have no reason. Saudi Arabia has no reason not to westernize. It would be a very good move on the part of the royal family to do that, by the way. Not like some of these other countries that are like...
I don't think so. Not for the royal family because... Well, I think they see the forest through the trees finally. Do you remember that movie with like Clooney and Matt Damon?
What's the name of that fucking
goats.
Movie? No, not the Men with Steel Goats. It's where Clooney's a fucking...
Syria.
Siriana.
I was so close.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
It's kind of like that they realize they're going to run out of oil and they better come up with something else. And Dubai figured it out. UAE was like... Well, let's make us a tourist destination and let's have banking and let's build an economy other than oil.
Yeah.
And so Saudi Arabia is like, we're going to run out of oil. Then we're going to lose all our fucking power. So we better start diversifying.
Yeah, because a lot of these countries are passing law, like France. They're getting rid of gas by gas car, powered cars and vehicles and all stuff by 2030.
China's getting rid of it.
China. Yeah. I know the in this democratic debate that's going on now, each candidate is saying we want to get rid of it by 2030, 2040.
Yeah.
It will happen here eventually.
How late is that for us? China and everybody's like, we're going to do it in 2020. We're like, 2040, we'll do it.
Yeah. We won't do it then. Actually, it doesn't make any sense for the U.S. to get off fossil fuels if everybody else does, to be honest.
Why is that?
Because if Russia is still on fossil fuels, then we should get out of it. But if they're off of it and China's off of it, we should use it because then we control that whole area.
The Middle East.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I'm not in favor of the U.S. dipping its toes in the rest of the world. I think we should mind our fucking business, but... It makes a lot more political
I'm a little
sense.
Confused.
Dan spent a lot of time over there.
No, but I'm confused. Explain that to me again, because I find that very interesting. So if Russia stays on it or gets off of it?
gets off.
Okay,
we
they
should stay on.
Why? Because how do we still control the Middle East then?
Because we're the only ones buying their product.
Oh, right? Buying their product. Yeah. But I thought we're getting most of our oil from ourselves now.
We have the largest oil reserves in the world in the Anwar, which is a private. It's a protected reserve in Alaska. And then there's other pumps in Texas and Oklahoma and shit like that. We have more oil than anybody.
Right.
But we don't use any of our oil. We keep that as
we'd
a
rather use
reserve.
All theirs. Right. Yes. Right.
So right now, Iran and Libya and Syria are all pretty much not, I would say, backed by Russia, but they have heavy Russian influence because Russia is buying their oil. The reason that Russia invaded Afghanistan in the 70s is because they wanted to put an oil pipeline through Europe down to the Middle East, straight into Russia.
Right.
So if they get off of Middle Eastern oil and get out of that region, we should stay there.
Yeah.
Some way or another, even if we're just patronizing.
Let's say hypothetically they find solar power can run everything.
Well, that's absolutely true.
But let's say they figure out how to store the solar, you know, like they have the grids that are big enough, whatever. Yep. Somebody, Elon Musk fucking finds a way to fucking store it in his asshole or something, and it works. And everybody has solar power, and you're just getting this free energy source.
Yeah.
What happens to the world then?
The Middle East goes back to where it's been living the last 1,000 years, which is the 8th century AD.
Yeah, and
because no one is going to want to deal with those people
at all
if they're trying to like do stupid bullshit, like,
and they end up killing them each other, and that goes on forever and ever and ever.
There will be internal wars
between all of them.
Yeah,
that'd be my guess. Well, really, the first thing that will happen is they'll start attacking Israel, which I mean, look, that's a
because Israel's built this
you know, and they're the only Western island influence within. That would be left there.
Yeah,
because Israel for argument's sake, is basically a Western country at this point. It's just plopped in the middle of the Middle East, right? Like, it's
Westernized. Have you been to Israel?
No, I was supposed to go. I broke my ankle and had to go home. I broke my ankle in Paris. We were doing this whole tour. We were going to do Egypt and Israel. And I had done...
Six-day war tour. That's what it's called.
Yeah, seriously. I've done stand-up in so many fucking countries.
What's it like? Do they get it?
They get it everywhere.
Really?
Everywhere. I went to India and they got it better than they do here.
How do they know English?
They all speak because their education is way better in India than it is in America. When they come out of high school to colleges in America, they're already like past us. You know, like their high school education is like the equivalent of our college education.
Yeah, well, I get that because look, India and China, Asia, they're way smarter than us, and I've accepted that.
Yeah,
well, I don't know what
it's
the fuck
South
is
Korea. The education system. Yeah. So even in Germany, you go to high school until you're 16. Then at 17, you start university. It's a 3-year instead of a 4-year program. So by 19, you're graduated. You've done with your secondary education. You're on to post-secondary. So if you start master's degrees and shit, you're starting at 19 to 22 years old.
That's too young.
It is and it isn't, I guess. I mean, look, that's a good debate to have. We're asking people to make a decision that influences the rest of their life at fucking 18 years old right
now.
That seems crazy.
No gap year.
No.
They all get gap years. Why do we not do that in America?
I have no idea.
This is the greatest idea ever.
Yeah.
Take a year off and just go travel and learn about it.
Rumspringa, brother.
For drunk assholes.
Basically. Yeah, you know I love Rumspringa.
We need to lower the drinking age to 16. Because, look, I was as smart at 16 as I was at 21.
I was drinking at 16, maybe.
Yeah. I better go.
Maybe. Real quick, where'd you go to college?
I went to University of Pittsburgh.
Oh, did you really?
Sure, nice. Yeah. University of Pittsburgh, yeah.
Wow.
I cheated my whole way through.
Proud of you.
Yeah. I didn't really go there. I feel bad saying I went there. I have a diploma from there. If anyone wants to buy it, I'll put that on eBay next to the bus.
The bus, Jerome.
Okay, if you guys want to put my diploma up here, I'll give it to you guys. We'll have it on your wall.
Love to have it. Yeah.
I got to pay my library fines first to get it.
Of course.
And then
we'll Dan, pay the, Dan still got a Blockbuster fine out there for the movie U-Turn by Sean Penn.
I have never gotten my diploma. I mean, I graduated. They wouldn't give it to me till I paid these fines. I haven't paid it, but I've never used it once. So.
Send them a bunch of nickels.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Fuck those guys.
Yeah, fuck
I wonder if I message them if they'd give me my diploma now.
Probably.
I bet you they'd give
me a
bill.
Just tell them you'll shout out the university on your next tour.
No, I honestly want to get it to send it to you and have it on your wall.
Please.
We'll do that.
I would fucking love to.
You look good right there next to Hulk Hogan.
It's a signed title,
and people go, what's that? I mean, Eddie F's diploma.
Yeah, from Pitt. But he went to Pitt, so.
I had a guy's driver's license one time. He goes like this, hey, man, give me a call. And I go, and this is years ago. And he goes, give me a call. And I was like, all right. And I was like, do you have a business card or anything? And he goes, no. Nah. He goes, here's my license. My number's in the book. And he just handed me his license. And I was like, did you just give me your driver's license? And I was like, and then I took it because I'm like, this is awesome. And I carried it everywhere. And whenever I would go into bars, I would always show it. Like, even they go ID, I'd show it and see if I could get in onto his ID. Yeah, I was like 30 years old. I mean, here you go.
Fax them. Send us your diploma.
Wait, fax them?
Yeah, I'm sure Pitt's still working on faxes.
Probably,
up there.
You're right.
Yeah.
That college is not really advanced that much. No. So send them a fax, have them get that diploma down here, and then we'll pop that up behind us.
That'd be awesome.
This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week. You see him on our shirt. This is the day. This is Bebo Russell, RIP, Sky King. Do you remember the guy that stole the plane? Alaskan Airlines, and then did a barrel roll and crashed it in the ground.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're big fans of his. Big fans of his.
We couldn't get these shirts signed because he's fucking dead.
Well, he's dead, so we couldn't get the shirt signed. But
I thought you meant the Catch Me If You Can guy from Seattle.
Oh, that would be great.
That'd be great too. But yeah. This guy is the hero that we actually deserve.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know who it might be better is the one that, what's his name, the flight attendant for what's the.
Oh, the girl who just got arrested?
No, the dude who got up and said, chugged a beer, said, fuck you, opened the emergency exit, and shot down the fire escape. You don't remember that guy?
No, I'm going to look it up now, though.
But there was a flight attendant, too, who got trashed the other
day. That was just the other day.
Yeah. And
she passed out in the rumble seat or whatever they call it. She's like,
gone.
Jump seat.
Yeah. She got rumble seat. Gone in the fucking jump seat, and that was it, man.
That's fucking good for her.
It was amazing.
I support that.
So do I. So do I. And those two pilots got popped, too, on the same plane. They ground the plane.
Which one of you drives the TRD?
Me. That Foreigner?
Yeah. I just got one.
Did you really?
Yeah,
it's a
best.
Nice vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah,
you guys
best.
Are staring at each other. Yeah. It's making me uncomfortable, I got to tell
you.
Later?
Yeah.
You want to now that you're taking man-sized shits again.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you get together and dock?
No, it's pretty tight right now. No, I can't cock dock. I'm circumcised.
All right, is your kid, though?
Yeah, my wife had it done.
That's good. You should be circed.
My wife wanted it. She insisted.
You have to.
She said it looks prettier.
Yeah, in today's world, you got to get circed.
I get re-circed every 18
yes.
months.
You do?
Clean it up a little bit.
I just get in there with the scalpel and take a little more off?
It's just weird.
Here's what the doctor told me, though. He said the argument for circumcision is that it makes it more sensitive if it has the sleeve on there because it keeps it covered all the time.
Uh-huh.
And then it's more sensitive. And I was like, wait, so you can actually come quicker?
Yeah, fuck that.
I was like, whoa, can I get circumcised again?
Yeah.
Re-circed. Re-circed.
Yeah. And look, it's never too late. We got a number of a guy. He's got a van.
Yeah.
Pretty safe.
And we've also got at-home vasectomy kits lying around if you want to try one of those out.
I just took a pill.
Really? What's that?
Yeah, heroin.
Oh, got it. Yeah. Is that nuke your sperm altogether?
Oxycodone. Yeah, that's what I do. That's how I don't.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, because I can't get it up then. Mm. So there's no baby.
And so you quit everything. Pills, drinking, all that
shit? No, I drank still. I just have diarrhea. You can't drink when you're in diarrhea. I don't drink that much anymore. I smoke a little weed and I don't do any hard drugs.
So no more hard drugs at all?
No fucking way.
You want to do mushrooms tonight?
No fucking way. I get too many panic attacks.
Mm.
No shit.
That's not the mushrooms. That's you.
Yeah.
Do you miss your old self?
Thanks, Tommy. do miss my old self, but I can't be that
let's
guy.
Let's get out
anymore.
Of here.
Yeah,
yeah
we
let's
can.
Get out of here.
We can. Dude, thanks for stopping
hey,
by,
thanks
man.
For having me. I appreciate
Welcome
it.
To Wilmington. We appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thanks for having me.
For Eddie Ift, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. Where can everybody find you on social media?
Instagram, at Eddie Ift. And YouPorn. I'll be on YouPorn tonight watching it.
Just watching it. Yeah.
You'll find him in the comments section on YouPorn tonight.
Yeah, but at Eddie Ift, EDDIEIFFT.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Thank you for being here,
hey,
brother.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, take care.